Getting Started with Judges by Dr. Ted Hildebrandt. Introduction to Judges. The title, quote, "The Book of Judges," end quote, is derived from the Latin Vulgate, Liber Judicum, which matches the Greek Septuagint's Kritai, or Judges, both of which are a literal derivation from the Hebrew Shofatim. One must understand that the Hebrew designation for, quote, judge, end quote, as a judicial official making court decisions is suited to Deborah, who held court under a palm tree, but few else. Chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Compare Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 18 through 20. The Hebrew term shofatim is much broader. The best functional definition of, quote, judges, end quote, is found in the book of Judges itself, chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Quote, "The Lord raised up judges, shofatim, who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived," end quote. They were charismatic deliverers who were raised up to lead, rescue, rule, and save Israel from regional oppressors. Chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. This can be seen clearly with the first judge, Othniel, where the term, quote, judge, end quote, translated, quote, deliverer, end quote, in the NIV, and, quote, saving, end quote, are juxtaposed, along with the recognition of Othniel's being endowed by the Spirit of God to defeat Cushan Rishathaim, Cushan the doubly wicked, chapter 3, verses 9 and following. Ehud, Barak, and Gideon are not called as judges, but are described using the term, quote, savior, end quote, chapter 3, verse 15, or, quote, saving, end quote, chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, chapter 8, 22, compare chapter 3, verse 31, 10, verse 1, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and chapter 13, verse 5. Indeed, God himself is seen as the ultimate, quote, savior, end quote, chapter 6, verse 36, and chapter 7, verse 2. Perhaps a better title for the book would be, quote, "Book of Tribal Saviors, / Deliverers, / Liberators," end quote. The period of Judges is a well-known period of Israel's history. It lies between the idyllic conquest of the land by Joshua and the first king, Saul, who is anointed by the last judge, Samuel, who oversees the shift from theocracy, where God is king, to monarchy, where Saul is anointed king, chapter 8, verse 23, 1 Samuel, chapter 8, verse 7. This heroic period is referred to in 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, the Psalms chapter 83, verses 9 and following, chapter 106, verses 40 and following, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4, Kings, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 22, and Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 27. A classic synopsis is given in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. Quote, "I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised," end quote. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 and following. Theme, structures, chronology, and social fabric of Judges. The main theme of Judges is frequently repeated in the final chapters of the book, chapter 17, verse 6, chapter 18, verse 1, chapter 19, verse 1, and chapter 21, verse 25. Quote, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes," end quote. It was a period of chaos and of individual and corporate apostasy. While this summary statement reflects a time when Israel had a king, the portrayal of the kingship is not naive, but tainted by Gideon's son Abimelech's treacherous attempt at making himself king by the slaughtering of his siblings, chapter 9, verse 5, and the burning of the residents of Shechem, chapter 9, verse 49. Judges seems to be realistic about the nature and problems of kingship. See 1 Samuel, chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. The structure of the book of Judges has both cyclical and linear elements to it. The cyclical nature can be seen in the cycle introduced in Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through chapter 3, verse 6, which is echoed in the six major deliverers that follow. The complete cycle can be seen in Othniel of Judah, the first judge. Rebellion, Israel does evil in the eyes of the Lord, chapter 3, verse 7. Yahweh sells them into the hands of their oppressors, chapter 3, verse 8. Repentance slash cry of distress. Israel cries to the Lord, chapter 3, verse 9. God raises up a deliverer slash judge, chapter 3, verse 9. Military victory of the deliverer who is endowed by the Spirit, chapter 3, verse 10. The land has rest for a number of years, chapter 3, verse 11. These cycles are not always complete, as neither the Jephthah nor Samson cycles have the final stage of Israel's rest. There are six cyclical or major judges and six non-cyclical or minor judges. The stories of the six non-cyclical judges are usually short, with a succession statement, home location, years as judge, and death notice. They seem to occur in a 1-2-3 pattern. 1. Shamgar, chapter 3, verse 13. 2. Tola, chapter 10, verse 1, and Jer, chapter 10, verse 3. And 3. Ibzan, chapter 12, verse 8. Elon, chapter 12, verse 11. And Abdon, chapter 12, verse 13. The cyclical or major judges are Othniel, Ehud, Deborah slash Barak, Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson. There are 12 judges in all. The heroic sagas seem to increase in length from Othniel, the shortest, to Samson, the longest. There also seems to be a movement from Judah, chapter 3, in the south, to Dan in the north, chapter 19. From the east, Ehud and Moab, to west, Samson with the Philistines, intersecting the moral decline of the nation. The major section of Judges cycles, chapter 3, verses 7 through chapter 16, verse 31, is framed by a double introduction and a double conclusion. There is a chiastic A-B-B-A literary framework between the doubled introduction and the doubled conclusion. A. Foreign Wars of Subjugation, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 5. B. Difficulties with Foreign Religious Idols, chapter 2, 6 through chapter 3, 6. B. Prime. Difficulties with Israelites' Religious Idols, chapter 17, verse 1 through chapter 18, verse 31. And A prime, Israelite Intertribal Warfare, chapter 19, 1 through 21, 25. The chronology of the judges cannot be reconstructed accurately based on the historical notices in the text describing, 1, the number of years of the various oppressions, chapter 3, verse 14, chapter 4, verse 3, chapter 6, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 8, chapter 13, verse 1, and 2, the years of rest as a result of the deliverances, chapter 3, verse 30, chapter 5, verse 31, chapter 8, verse 28, and chapter 15, verse 20. These total 410 years. This number is too large for those holding an early date of the Exodus, about 1445 BC, and especially troubling for the late date of the Exodus, about 1260 BC, with 40 years in the wilderness, which allows for less than 150 years for this period before Samuel, and he's about 1100 BC, and Saul, about 1050 BC. There are two factors that impact the chronology of Judges. First, the Judges were regional saviors, hence the length of oppressions and rests may overlap. Second, some of the numbers may be rounded off as symbolic, as Ehud has 80 years, Deborah 40 years, and Gideon 40 years. One should also note Jephthah's unchallenged statement that in his day Israel occupied Heshbon for 300 years. Chapter 11, verse 26. While traditionally the authorship of the book has been assigned to Samuel, about 1050 BC, statements in chapter 18, verses 30 and 31 may well indicate a pre-Zion perspective, pre-David capturing Jerusalem, as the house of God is described as firmly seated at Shiloh, not Jerusalem. Yet the statement concerning the tribe of Dan having set up idols, quote, until the time of the captivity of the land, end quote, chapter 18, verse 30, seems to indicate an editorial insertion from the time of the Assyrian captivity, 722 BC. The referencing of archaic site locations also shows the final form of the book is distant from the events recorded. For example, Debir equals Kiryat Sefer, chapter 1, verse 11. Jebus equals Jerusalem, chapter 19, verse 10. David had apparently not captured Jerusalem yet, as, quote, to this day the Jebusites live there, end quote, chapter 1, verse 21. This is a complex document with several editorial layers reflected in its final text. The social fabric of the time also seems to reflect an early period, with the bottom level being the, quote, house of the father, end quote, or family, which would combine to form a, quote, clan, end quote, which in turn would combine to form a, quote, tribe, end quote, which in turn joined to form the nation of Israel. Compare Joshua chapter 7, verse 14. Other social factors are the Levites, who function as priests, chapter 17, verses 7 and following, and the elders of Sukkot, written down by a boy for Gideon, chapter 8, verse 14. The lack of centralization of worship and many non-priests offering sacrifices, chapter 6, verses 18 and following, chapter 11, verse 31, and chapter 13, verse 23, is indicative of a pre-monarchic origin with later editorial insertions. Summary of contents. The book opens with the first introduction, chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 5, echoing themes and phrases from Joshua, continuing the conquest of the land with Judah and the Simeonites attacking Adonai Bezek. Judah captures Jerusalem. Caleb takes Hebron, and his daughter Aksa is given to Othniel for taking Debir / Kiryat Sefer. While the men of Judah were largely successful, the other tribes of Manasseh, Benjamin, and others were not able to drive out the Canaanites, chapter 1. The second introduction, chapter 2:6 through 3:6, is a description of why the Canaanites were not driven from the land. While Joshua's generation served the Lord, the ones that followed forsook the Lord, violated the covenant, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. The Lord left the Canaanites in the land to test Israel and to teach the next generation the art of warfare. Chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Othniel, the first major judge, has the full literary cycle, chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. While he gets a short description, He is Caleb's younger brother from the tribe of Judah, who battles Cushan-Rishathaim from Aram. Ehud, the left-hander, from the tribe of Benjamin, son of my right hand, takes tribute to the obese oppressor Eglon, king of Moab, who had taken the city of palms, Jericho. Chapter 3, verses 12 through 30. Ehud requests a secret audience with Eglon to present a message from God. After the servants are dismissed, Ehud draws his dagger and plunges it into Eglon. While the servants decide whether to open the locked restroom palace doors, Ehud has time to escape down the latrine, chapter 3, verse 23, in the NLT, and rally the Ephraimites, who defeat and throw off the oppressive yoke of the Moabites. Deborah and Barak confront the 900 iron chariots of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 31. Apparently, Jabin is a dynastic name, as Joshua had killed Jabin, king of Hazor, previously, Joshua chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Deborah is described as the wife of Lapidot, a prophetess and judge, quote, who was leading Israel at the time in the hill country of Ephraim, end quote. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. She orders a timid Barak to prepare for battle. Barak lacks courage, and so God announces that Sisera, Jabin's general, will be handed over to a woman. The battle takes place in the Jezreel, or Armageddon, Valley. The Kishon River floods, resulting in the muddied iron chariots being incapacitated. Sisera flees, and Jael, a Kenite woman, offers Sisera milk and a cozy nap, at which time she takes a tent peg and hammer and kills him, thereby finalizing the victory. The poetic song of Deborah celebrates the victory. Compare Exodus chapter 15. The Gideon narrative is seen as the center of the major judges. There is an extended treatment of Gideon's call as he clandestinely tries to winnow wheat in a wine press, chapter 6, verse 1 through chapter 9, verse 56. He objects, asking for a sign, which is granted as fire flares from a rock and consumes the meat of his sacrifice. Compare Moses. He tears down his father's altar to Baal and the Asherah pole, resulting in him being named, quote, Jerubbaal, end quote, meaning, quote, let Baal defend himself, end quote. Chapter 6, verse 32. He demands a sign confirming his call to arms by putting out a fleece and requesting it to be wet on the dry ground. Gideon then musters 32,000 men, and God eliminates all but 300 who lapped water from their hands at the spring of Harod. Gideon defeats the Midianites at night with lamps and trumpets blasting. At the end of his life, things fall apart as he makes an idolatrous golden ephod, and his son Abimelech, after Gideon's death, declares himself king at Shechem by slaying Gideon's 70 sons. Jotham tells a satirical fable about the trees anointing the bramble bush as king, chapter 9. Abimelech is eventually killed by a woman who cracks his skull by dropping a millstone from a tower on him. Jephthah of Gilead confronts the Ammonites in Transjordan, chapter 10, verse 6 through chapter 12, verse 7. While he is a mighty warrior, his mother was a prostitute, so he was originally driven out from his family. Later, they recall him seeking to employ his skills against the Ammonites. After reviewing Israel's history, Jephthah makes a vow to sacrifice whatever comes out the door of his house if he returns victorious. His only child, a daughter, comes out to greet him upon his return, and, quote, he did to her as he had vowed, end quote. Most think he sacrificed her, but some think he may have dedicated her to the Lord through celibacy. The tribe of Ephraim was offended that they were not invited to the war, so they attacked Jephthah of Gilead, who identifies who the Ephraimites are by a dialectical difference, whether they could say, quote, Shibboleth, end quote, instead of, quote, Sibboleth, end quote, meaning ear of grain. Samson, from the tribe of Dan, was called to be a Nazarite from birth, and was destined to confront the Philistines, chapters 13 through 16. The birth narrative has an angel informing his sterile mother and Manoah, his father, that no razor should come on his head, chapter 13. Samson's entanglements with the Philistines come through three women. The first is his wife from Timnah. At his wedding, he gives a riddle based on his taking honey from the carcass of a lion he had previously killed. His wedding guests force his wife to tell them the answer by threatening her parents. Samson slays 30 Philistines to acquire the 30 changes of clothes to close the bet. Second, he goes in to a prostitute at Gaza, where he walks off with the posts of the city gate. Third, he falls in love with Delilah. The Philistines bribe her into finding out the secret of Samson's strength. She cuts his hair, and he is captured, blinded, and returned to Gaza. He prays for revenge and knocks down the pillars of the Philistine temple, killing more in his death than in his tragic life. The book of Judges then ends with a double conclusion, or the tales of two Levites. The first Levite contracts with Micah of Ephraim to serve as a priest for Micah's family idol. The tribe of Dan recruits him as they migrate north to capture the city of Laish, later named Dan, where the Levite sets up an idolatrous worship center. The second Levite has a concubine who flees to her family in Bethlehem. He goes to retrieve her, and then, upon returning, stays in Gibeah in the tribal region of Benjamin. The men of Benjamin rape and kill his concubine. He cuts her up and sends her body parts to the 12 tribes of Israel. The tribes muster, attack, and almost destroy the tribe of Benjamin, except for 600 men. They seize wives for the Benjamites from Jabesh-Gilead and from the dancers at a Shiloh festival, thereby reconstituting the tribe of Benjamin. This story sets the background to Saul, the first king of Israel, who is from the tribe of Benjamin. The book ends with the major theme lamenting, quote, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes," end quote. Theology. God, the ultimate deliverer. With all the extraordinary feats and foibles of the various judges, something that must not be missed is that God himself is the one who delivered Israel into the hands of the oppressors, and it was God who graciously listened to their cries of distress and raised up each judge. Indeed, God was viewed as the one ruling Israel during this time, Israel's ultimate deliverer, chapter 8, verse 23. The Spirit of God was a catalyst in endowing these various judges with gifts needed to fulfill their roles, chapter 6, verse 34, chapter 11, verse 29, chapter 14, verse 6 and 19, and chapter 15, verse 14. The people of God struggle with syncretism. While Israel had conquered the land of Canaan, it remained for judges to determine whether Israel would be conquered by Canaanite culture and religion. Israel's tendency was to forget the Lord and to serve the Baals and the Asherah, chapter 2, verse 11, chapter 3, verse 7, and verse 12, chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1, resulting in their inability to drive out the Canaanites. This was a fulfillment of the Mosaic warnings in Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 4, and chapter 20, verse 18, Syncretism resulted in Israel sliding into the abhorrent and immoral practices of Canaanite idolatry. One wonders whether this warning about syncretism and assimilation should be heeded by the postmodern church. The role of women in Judges. The women in Judges run the gamut from heroic, Deborah in jail, to pious, the daughter of Jephthah, to feisty, Aksa chapter 1 verse 15, to an unnamed woman who cracks Abimelech's skull with a millstone, Samson's betrayal by Delilah, and the helpless nameless Levite's concubine are significant in this chaotic time in Israel's history. Questions. Number 1. What similarities can be seen in comparing Judges 1 and the book of Joshua? Number 2. What are the similarities and differences between the narrative account of Deborah's victory, chapter 4, and the poetic account, chapter 5? Number 3. What parallels are seen between Gideon and Moses? Number 4. What role do women play in the book of Judges? Number 5. How are the various tribes portrayed? Number 6. What traces of later editorial comments are found throughout the book? Number 7. What role does the Spirit of God play in Judges? Number 8. How did the various judges determine God's direction and will, especially Gideon? Number 9. How does Judges set up the coming institution of kingship in Israel? This is Getting Started in Judges by Dr. Ted Hildebrandt.